Thanks for coming back to join me and Tadeo Martinez. This is a bonus episode to the conversation we had previously, covering topics and five specific questions we didn't address in the last episode. Tadeo talks about his dream YouTube job, as well as his award-winning performance in one of my favorite plays and movies, Noises Off. I'm your host, Patrick Oliver Jones, and this is The Final Five. All right, Tadeo, here we are at the final five questions. Are you ready?
Yes, yes, I am. I think I am.
Okay, because the first one is, if you could have any other job, if you could pursue any kind of career outside of the arts, what would it be?
Okay, Patrick, I thought about this long and hard. There is a young woman on the YouTubes whose job is to go around amusement parks and try all of the food at said different amusement parks. And I think I would want to do that. It just sounds like, can you imagine? Like, your job is to go to Walt Disney World, like the Magic Kingdom, and just eat your way through it. That sounds incredible.
You realize that people do this without being paid to do it. They'll go to Epcot. They go to Epcot. They start at Mexico, which is where you have to start. You have to start at Mexico.
That's what
Then you work your way around all the way to Canada.
That's what I hear. Yes. But can you imagine doing it like for a living? Like your job is they pay you to go to said amusement parks and eat and just try everything and then tell the beautiful people of the YouTubes what food is best.
Now, I would only take that job if it also came with a full, like, gold platinum membership to a gym, because you'd need it.
That or like a coupon for Tums.
No, you know what? If I'm demanding a contract, I want a personal trainer. There you go.
That's ooh, what I Patrick.
Yeah, it's like I'm going to do this for YouTube, and then you're going to give me a personal
trainer. And then yes, I could get down with that.
All right. So now that you've eaten your way through all the amusement parks, yes. Number two, what is a bucket list role or show that you hope to do once this pandemic is over?
Oh my God. You know, this one is, this may be cheating, but because I've already done it, I just really want to do it again.
Okay.
I really loved playing Cousin Julio in Motherfucker with the Hat. I loved it so much, and I would love to do it again.
I have those shows that would be my bucket list show. Like, this is how I die. I go into right off into the sunset. This is the role I want to be doing. Yeah. Yeah.
What's that role? Well, for me,
it's Men of La Mancha. I love that show. So I've done it four times already.
Oh wow.
So I mean, if I could just like do a show, you know, I mean, there are people that do sitcoms for 10, 12 years. For me, the musical that I would just do on and on and on would be Men of La Mancha.
Oh wow.
I love that show. Love that show. Yeah.
It is a good mm-hmm. one.
It's very good. So number three, who do you look up to? Maybe someone, a mentor, someone that's inspired you along the way.
I have a mentor who was my voice professor in college.
Would this be singing?
No, this was like accents and dialects, vocal coaching. She was also my vocal coach on Noises Off. So I've worked with her a lot. I love her so much. She's the most incredible, incredible woman and professor. And I've told her this. And just the way she walks, the way she walks into the room, just being unapologetically herself. I have never met someone who is that present. Never in my life. And when she talks to you, you feel like you're the only person in the room, and she's giving you her full undivided attention.
Those people are really so rare. They really are.
Yeah.
Because I know I'm not that person.
Yes, exactly. And I'm too over the place to be that person.
If we don't have chemistry, you know, if for whatever, in whatever way it is, then I start to kind of drift, you know, so it's hard. It's hard for me.
Okay, Patrick, I'm about to blow your mind, because she also is in charge of auditioning students for the program for SMU. And I was very, along with Bernard, who brought me to Esme. I was so fortunate to be able to sit in the room with them. And she gives her full undivided attention to every single student who walks in that door. They both do. But yes, she's just phenomenal. I look up to her so much. If I can be an ounce of what she is when I grow up, I will be a better man for it.
All right. Well, then speaking of which, of learning from people. So number four, what is a lesson or trait that you are still working on to this day? Something that you're trying to like, I need to do more of that, be more like that.
Oh, yes. Well, we talked about it a lot. So I think it would be bringing all of me into the room and giving myself permission to bring all of myself into the room, both professionally and personally.
And in what ways do you find yourself, or in what ways have you learned to remind yourself to do that?
Whether it is breathing, whether it is reminding myself that I am enough as I am, I do not have to put on a mask to talk to different people. And I think I don't always remind myself. And I think that's the problem. I think I need to do more of reminding myself.
All right. So I think this leads right into number five then. What is the best advice that you have received?
I think I have two. One is free yourself from the necessity to please. Because as actors, I think we do that a lot. Mm-hmm. And this comes from Miss Anne Schilling herself, every breath is something new.
And what, particularly that last one, the first one is fairly self-explanatory and clear. That second one, though, what does that mean to you? How does that play out?
You know, she said it in terms of acting, but when you think about it, every breath is something new. Every time you take another breath, it's a reminder that you're alive. It's a reminder that you are human, that you're allowed to make mistakes. It's a reminder that every moment is what you make of it. And it's a reminder to be present, because you're breathing, you're, you know, taking breaths. And yeah, it's another opportunity to be fully yourself.
One of those acknowledgments that you got in the Dallas area was that Theater Critics Award. And so talk about that show and then what this award was actually for.
It was the best. It was at Theater 3, which is a small theater in Dallas, Texas, and they are the absolute best. So I was invited to audition for Noises Off because my directing teacher, Carlin Vaney, and she, who also directed me in a show at SMU, was directing it. So she invited a couple of us to come in for it. And she originally asked me to go in for Tim, who's like the handy worker. And I did. And I made a very big choice. And I made Tim gay. Like very gay, because my mentality, here's the thing, Patrick, here's the thing. Let's you and I unpack this together. He's always working he's always looking to please Lloyd.
Yes. And right? Anytime Tim, he's always calling him and Tim is there.
He's always there. He's even when he's like falling asleep behind the sofa, he is still next to Lloyd. He tours the show because Lloyd asks him to. So I was like, I think that could be a potential, there could be a potential for a love story here and a very beautiful opportunity for representation. So I just tried to make it very clear that I thought Tim was gay. They did not like that. That did not go well with the casting director at Theater 3, which is fine. Because we made the choice.
And it is at least a logical choice. It may not be what the director wants, but it is a logical. It's like, yeah, Tim, even if Lloyd's not gay, let's just say that, but Tim just has a crush on him and wants to be.
Yeah. And And I thought the love story would bring an extra level of comedy. We made the choice. And I was at the audition and Cara asked me to read for Gary, which is the part that I ended up playing. just because she needed someone to read with someone else. And I went in and Patrick, I was awful. I was terrible.
Which Gary kind of is too.
Yeah, it's true. But I was terrible, like, in character and out of character. Like, I was just bad. But then I found out later that the woman who had originally been cast to play Dottie went to the director, went to Karin, was like, I think you should maybe give it to Tadeo. I think there could be something fun here. The woman who was originally cast as Dottie is a Latina. Her name was Christy Vela. I'm sure I can say this, and I'm sure I'm not going to get, like, attacked and sued by Theater 3. She was originally going to play Dottie, and so I think she went to Karin, and she was like, hey, it'd be fun, because also then we could have the Latinx love story, and we could, like, dabble in the art of Spanish. And Kara loved that. She was like, yes, yes, yes. And then and then Christy had to drop out of the show because she was directing another show, and ended up bringing this incredible actress, Kristen McCullum, in to play Dottie, who is incredible and one of the loves of my life. Love her so much. But I stayed in the cast. I think, thankfully, was not fired. Cut to the first day of rehearsal. Kara sits us down and it's like, so here's what I'm thinking of. We have permission from the licensing company. This show usually takes place in London. Either they do two different London accents or they do the same London accent.
I think it's going to be similar to the movie where the actors themselves are all American, but yet as soon as they get into the play, then they're in London.
Yes.
Or outskirts of London.
Yes.
Yeah.
But Kara switched it so that when we're out of the play, everyone was Texan and had a Texas accent. And then when we did the show within the show, we all had very bad British accents because we were like a Texas traveling group. And she changed all the like London locations to different locations in Texas to make it as though the show was touring in Texas.
Brilliant.
She is brilliant. Okay, and so we went in, we read through the first act, and then she came up to me, and this is the story about giving myself permission. She came up to me and she knelt down next to me and she was like, Tadeo, what if Gary is Mexican? And the reason why, because I'd had conversations like this with her, and she was like, you always talk about not being able to find the words. What if Gary can't find the words because he actually can't find the words because this is his second language? And I was like, that is genius. Gary, for people who don't know, can't finish his sentences. So then it turned into whenever I was Gary, I would speak in a very heavy Mexican accent. And when I would get mad, I would rattle off in Spanish. And when I was, I think the character's name was Roger. The show within the show's character name was Roger. I would go into British. And so it gave me this really, really fun character to dig into, and also a very difficult accents and dialects.
Right, yeah, challenge. You're all over the place then.
But it was all because she gave me permission to bring all of me into the room, which again, at the time I was like, why didn't I think of that? Like, why didn't I give myself permission? That's kind of like how it happened. And then the Dallas Theater critics were very, very kind and named me as one of their favorite performances, which is very, very, very kind.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Win Me newsletter by going to whyillnevermakeit.com.